say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a long overdue episode of Hysteria 51.
That's right, Brent. This week's topic is one of the internet's very first hoaxes.
Or truths. There are people out there that will die on this hill, and if meat sacks are willing to die, I am all for it.
And that tracks.
Yeah, right. We are your hosts and lead eggheads this week, broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a dimensional portal to parts unknown, Colorado.
What's an egghead?
In due time, my friend, in due time. But more importantly, I'm David Flora, he's Brent Hand. They are the bots. And that makes this Hysteria 51. Hi.
There is still time to hit stop. You don't have to do this to yourself.
Right.
He's right, though.
Damn it.
I mean,
I hate saying it,
right.
But he is right.
He's out of line. why do you suck, C-Bot?
Reasons.
Tired of that excuse these days.
That does track a little bit, though.
That has run its course.
All right. So that's enough with the riffraff. Time to talk. The topic at hand here, Ong's hat. This story is a ton of fun, and it has a ton of layers.
But more importantly, my sensors detect a pamphlet.
Oh shit, we got a pamphlet alarm. He brings up a good point. All great cults, crackpot theories, scams—you name it, David—they have a pamphlet.
Ooh. Well, this week's no exception.
I'm telling you, man. You know, name anything in life that didn't start with a pamphlet. I'll wait. Time's up. let's start with an overview of the story, then we can break down the parts. And to do so, we're headed back to none other than New Jersey. Now, unfortunately, it's not Kentucky, the gift that keeps on giving, but this is one that keeps giving, too. Home to a legend or five. David, what are your favorite legends, cryptids, creepy crawlies, stories, things from Jersey and the infamous Pine Barrens?
Oh, I think that there's not lead everywhere. That's my favorite conspiracy that has no basis in reality.
But there is lead cannonballs that were shot at the Jersey Devil that lives out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hockey team, when the fans were angry at them for not winning the Stanley Cup. I remember that incident. There's the what is the big red eye?
Yeah, he's one of the Sasquatch monsters out there.
Yeah.
And then the cryptid among cryptids, name among names, John Bon Jovi is said to haunt the Pine Barrens as well, if you're from Jersey. So there is that.
There's some great Revolutionary War stories.
Yeah.
I think that take place in New Jersey, particularly with spies and hangings. And a tree that's real haunted and cursed and stuff.
Haunted like trees. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you see that tree? Anyway. It's haunted. Oh, no shit. Oh, yeah. this week, not just Jersey and everything. We're focusing on one town in particular, at least what used to be a town. And that's where we get our namesake, Ong's Hat. Now, you're probably thinking Ong, but Ong was a common name back then, it turns out. I looked it up. Can't say that I've heard it elsewhere myself. Have you known any Ongs in your life?
I've never met an Ong. I wonder if this comes from Revolutionary War times as well. If they were spies and people are like, what's your name? Jimmy? Yeah. Jimmy what? Ong.
Oh,
they're
Jimmy
like,
Ong.
Okay, I know an Ong. He's good.
He passes my smell test.
Ong.
Well, we're getting off on the right foot here because right off the bat, we have conjecture because no one's really sure how the town of Ong's Hat got its name. Now, some say a man named Jacob Ong threw his hat up in a tree, as you do. And then someone asked, hey, what are we going to, where are we going to build our town or whatever? And Jacob pointed to the tree where his hat was and said, there, boom, you got Ong's Hat.
Nice.
That's just,
I think that's how every town should have gotten started. Just somebody being mad and their actions caused the town to be named.
Maybe, or maybe that story's BS, because maybe the real truth is the story of how Jacob loved to wear an expensive silk hat and court the ladies, local Lothario, if you will.
So a man whore.
A man whore, yes, that is correct. Okay. One night while said man whore was dancing with one lady, another lady took offense and got all, or I mean, maybe she was offended. Maybe she got all sex crazed or some shit. I don't know. But either way, they say she yanked said silk accessory off of his dome, stomped that bitch in the ground. And ooh. Jacob Ong was so pissed, he threw a tantrum and threw his hat into a tree.
See, at the time, hats were called tantrums. So he was right in line with what he was doing.
That's right. Exactly true. That's why I keep you around. You know, it's the facts. In quotes.
Historical fun fact.
And that's where it stayed for years, as they say, because, you know, silk hats are prone to do well in the elements. And boom, it became a marker of sorts for the town. And there you have it. They're like, what's this town's name? And they're like, Ong's Hat.
Yeah, just look for Ong's Hat. That's where it is. That's where your journey
right?
ends.
Or maybe
I like the town named after the tantrum of broken knuckle or hole in the plaster.
That they just shortened it to Kyle recently. So
okay,
it could have been those. It could have been some other shit. Who's to say? Either way, there's a town named that, and in the 1800s, it was lively. They say it was known for alcohol. It was known for prize fighting. Sounds like the kind of town that I actually might kind of enjoy going to.
I sold a ton of bot booze there in its heyday.
No, I don't think you did.
No, you're not immortal.
Right. So anyway, that was like in the 1860s, kind of big. It wasn't a town for that long. People moved on. This is like literally in the middle of the Pine Barrens.
Yeah.
So if you want to get there now, you got to like hike a very long time. And then by the late 1900s, all that remained was a single shed in bad shape, as man, sheds seem to be when they're 200 years.
People knew how to build sheds back in the day, huh? Like, that's all that's ever left of a place,
right?
A shed.
Like, why didn't they just build sheds for their homes? Oh, man. Yeah,
just stack a bunch of sheds on
and make the plane out of the black box. the town's been around for a while. It appears on old maps going back to 1778, so it's been there for a long time. When the town officially disappeared, depends on who you ask. Either 1936 when the last inhabitant died. Some say there were people still milling around until the 1970s. Doesn't matter much. It's a ghost town, or whatever you call a shed if one shed town there's one shed in. You know, I don't know if that counts.
All the ghosts are crammed in that shed.
It was inhabited by clowns, so they're used to it. Yeah, no shit. Yeah, where's the thank you very much.
That's how they laughed in 1778.
That was normal. That was high society. Now, that's a little bit of the backstory. Enter the weird. Well, stories started to spread about weird happenings, cult activities, and forbidden science taking place in the town.
Love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forbidden science. Story goes that in the 1970s and 80s, Princeton students, nay, scientists, did some experiments out there. Experiments involving occult and interdimensional travel.
It's almost as if you've been doing too much science.
Too much science, is that possible?
It is not.
No,
and these scientists were successful. They were twins, a boy and a girl, and ended up scooting on over into another dimension, one where humanity had never developed. And they only come back in their egg-shaped dimensional ripping machine for supplies like, wait for it, coffee.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
I would do the same.
Now, I know what our listeners are screaming. How do we know that? How do we know that, David?
We know that through the miracle of a pamphlet.
That is right. Ong's Hat, Gateway to the Dimensions, literally was a pamphlet. They got circulated in the 80s and 90s, detailing the events. And then it spread, so to speak. It popped up on early bulletin board sites, that kind of stuff, forums, all this stuff. People to this day still go to Ong's Hat to see the shed and try to find proof of dimensional travel or that there was a lab there or find the missing lab. They like to call themselves eggheads, you know, because of the egg-shaped craft. Or I guess it wouldn't be a craft, but whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. There's a problem, though. What? Someone says they made the pamphlet and the entire thing up, and they have tons of documented truth. But true believers don't let a little thing like truth and evidence get in the way of a good story. Isn't that the best?
You mean disinformation?
You're a shill. You're a government shill, and I know it. And that is a quick and dirty overview of Ong's Hat. We're going to go to break real quick. When we come back, we're going to break down the hoax and talk about who created this hoax, who says that they did all this, as well as how it caught on. Like,
where did hoax come into to play?
That's all coming up on Hysteria 5-1.
How dare you drop a bomb like that just so nonchalantly?
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you a thousand times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
All right, let's get to this pamphlet. David, if you will, tell us about Ong's Hat, Gateway to the Dimensions.
Detailing the Institute of Chaos Studies and the Moorish Science Ashram in Ong's Hat, New Jersey.
Ooh. Now, I didn't want to... in the notes here, I didn't want to like copy the whole thing because it's pages and pages. It's a good pamphlet. But I did throw a paragraph that they have in there, if you will. Let us know what it said.
You would not be reading this brochure if you had not already penetrated halfway to the ICS. You have been searching for us without knowing it, following oblique references in crudely Xerox marginal samizdat publications, crackpot mystical pamphlets, mail order courses in chaos magic with two Ks. Where are they at? Where they appear in there? I'll let you decide. A paper trail.
Not where you think.
And a coded series of rumors spread at street level through circles involved in the illicit distribution of certain controlled substances, the propagation of certain acts of insurrection against the planetary work machine and consensus reality, or perhaps through various obscure mimeograph technical papers on the edges of chaos science.
I'm a chaotician. Chaotician.
Through pirate computer networks, yar, or even through pure synchronicity and the pursuit of dreams. In any case, we know something about you, your interests, deeds, and desires, works, and days, what you're wearing, the type of lingerie you buy your wife, how many cans of beer you've drunk today, and we know your address.
Uh-oh.
Otherwise, you'd not be reading this brochure. Enjoy!
It is such a weird... Yeah, like, it's a weird... It's worded that way on purpose, and we'll find out, you know, it definitely was. But breaking it down a little bit more. Ung's Hat... Now, this is what is said, all right? Ung's Hat was home to those Princeton scientists we mentioned before, the Dobbs twins. They were forced to relocate to the Pine Barrens and build a secret lab because the research into chaos studies got their asses kicked out of school because reasons, right?
There's no chaos at Princeton.
No, now we meet.
Until they play Harvard, am I right?
Right? Uh-oh. Wally Fard is one of the greatest names to ever grace this show. And it's
Wally Farded.
Uh-oh, W-A-L-I, Fard. Now, Wally was already out there. He's a mystical scholar and carpet salesman, as one is to be in those times.
Could you trust this guy if they weren't flying carpets, though?
No, that's not, they align your chakras. That's what it is, you know, mystical.
I don't believe any of that hoo-ha, Brent.
Uh-oh.
Flying carpets, though.
Hey, now. Point A to B, you know. He had established the Moorish Science Ashram nearby. So, of course, these chaos peeps and these mystic peeps, they're down to get dirty together. They want to party, right? They're out in the middle of the Pine Barrens. And guess what? They decided to go all in together, blending science with meditation and a fucking course. Alchemy, as we learned in said pamphlet.
Where did that come from?
Now, if you're hankering to know all the science, quote unquote, behind this, as well as day-to-day activities of the ashram, well, no need to fear. You can go online and read copies of the pamphlet. I've got links in the show notes. You can learn until your heart's content or your eyes cross permanently, whichever you prefer, because it's going to happen. But we're not going to go
my eyes crossed
that far and bore you with it here. We need to get to the woo-woo. Tell us about the woo. What was going
on?
To
get there?
Okay. Oh yeah, right. We haven't got there yet.
Well, as they progressed, and what I can only imagine was a patchouli and coffee fueled house of BO and body hair, they started to have success manipulating reality.
Well, that'll come when you're, you know, at an ashram taking whatever.
Taking whatever they take.
Yeah.
You have to wonder whose reality they were manipulating.
Right, yeah.
Their own or actual. Mm-hmm. After years of tedious toiling and chanting and smoking and sex and stretching, they came up with the egg.
The egg.
And it's called this because of its shape. But what it really was a machine to explore the cognitive chaos.
I love when we have these stories and they throw in stuff like that. Cognitive chaos. And you go, okay, that makes sense, right? Because you don't know what that means. You know what I mean? But yes. People read that and they go, of course. That's immediately where I went.
That's a delicious pairing of words.
What was the egg? What was this thing?
It was think of a sensory deprivation chamber.
Yeah.
You know, could be sort of egg-like.
They are kind of like egg. You know, they got like, I don't know if you've ever seen one, but yeah, it's like a big white opens up and you go inside, you know.
Did you say it's a big white?
It's a big white. It's a big white.
Just one standard white.
That was my, you know, us Americans, we won't use the metric system.
But this thing had a lot more bells and whistles than one of those. And we're talking like Stranger Things type stuff if, you know, if you've watched the show.
Yeah,
or if you've watched any of the documentaries on how they made the music for it.
Right. They like literally, that. If you have seen Stranger Things, think of like the weird deprivation chamber stuff that they put her in with the television screens and things like that. But it was shaped like an egg.
Yeah, if you're fans of Fringe, I think they did this too, and that might be even more apt in the sense that they traveled to another dimension as well, but it wasn't as
well. Guess where these shows got the
up, man, upside down?
These shows took some of these things from this story, which also took
that's great
from other stories. What were they trying to do? What was the point of this?
Well, they were trying to pinpoint the moment when a wave becomes a particle. A light photons have characteristics of both wave and particle, meaning they don't have mass. They appear on the like it's photons are wild.
Yeah, and depending on if you're looking or not looking, are things that they behave in different ways. So they were looking for the exact moment when it changes.
Yeah, and chaos. They fired the old girl up to try her out, and lo and behold, something else happened.
Ooh.
The egg and the dude inside of it disappeared for 7 minutes in heaven. When it came back, he was still making out with the girl that he found.
He was
still alive, and he had a story to tell, and his watch was 1 minute behind Doc Brown.
Einstein, you're back, boy.
So, you
by
see,
my calculations, when this egg gets up to 88 miles an hour, we're going to see some serious shit. Let's get scrambling. So,
I guess he had activated some PIM particles or something like that, because it seems he dived down to the quantum level, like some sort of chaos fueled. Evangeline Lilly. I just watched that this weekend.
Oh, did you? Was it good?
Yeah. I mean, it's a Marvel movie. It's fine. It's not nearly as bad as everybody's.
Doesn't this feel like that though? Like it's so interesting. Like,
no, it completely. I mean, they say in it, they shrunk down to the quantum realm.
Mm-hmm.
I think this dude fought Kang for a little bit, and then came back up with MODOK. I don't know. Like, anyway,
befriended some Tardigrades or whatever the hell they're called.
he was riding around on Tardigrades. What he did was apparently he followed a wave while he was there, and he found himself in an alternate dimension, another Earth. It's Earth. It's just like Earth without people.
Yeah, yeah, literally, like,
so
they,
heaven.
It had never, it was just like us land-wise and everything, but people never progressed, or the monkeys, or evolution never got us there.
That sounds like heaven to me.
Of course it does.
See, that's what I said, like, it's, you laughed when I said he came back from 7 minutes in heaven, but, man, that sounds like it.
Whatever, you know, with no dumbass robots to keep them busy putting out figurative and literal fires on the daily, they made progress. See how, if we didn't have to deal with, anyway.
Yeah, well, for the next several years, they explored this new Earth, doing research and, you know, whatever the hell people from an ashram do. they had sex and smoked in another dimension.
I never thought this was really going to happen. I have no idea what to do next.
But, a wrench is thrown into the works here.
No one wants a wrench in their egg, but here we go.
Enter Uncle Sam, a.k.a. the U.S. government, and a nuclear accident.
Oh, man.
So a nearby accident caused the powers that be to come into the area and decide to snoop around, see, you know, what the hippie carpet salesman and the scientists were all chummy about. that is not bueno. So they decided to say bye-bye and move their research / spiritual facility over to the alternate Earth, piece by piece.
Wow, that is it's like when they bring a castle over here, brick by brick.
they loaded up this egg with a box full of like a toaster, a pitcher that wouldn't fit with the other box.
Pam's desk miscellaneous.
there was like post-it notes and paper clips in this one.
And coffee.
One lamp.
And coffee.
And coffee, yeah. Each one had coffee. But anyways, piece by piece, they transported over to alternate Earth. And all they left behind was, you know, a secret hidden lab so that they could come back here from time to time for supplies. Like fresh coffee, fresh nudie mags.
Yeah. And,
you know, that bathroom that they all like to go into.
Yeah, well, it's nice. And, you know, it's private. There's no one around. It's got a powerful fan, you know, so...
So there was an invitation in this pamphlet we've been talking about to travel to Ong's Hat and locate the community of dimension-hopping scientist hippies. But it assured readers that finding it is not so simple.
Yeah. Now, the facility's gone, but there was going to be a shed or whatever, a lab. It was going to lead to the lab, which was hidden, that they come back to from time to time in an underground tunnel. Now... why do we know all this, and why are you giving us all that? We already told you there's a pamphlet, but let's hold up. Not to ever disparage a pamphlet, but the best word old pamphlet in the world doesn't have access and spread like this one did. That is because references, clues, and such have been popping up or were popping up on online sites since the internet was nothing more than BBS sites.
Yeah.
Then... this guy calls in to Coast AM to say he grew up there. This dude, he's Joseph Matheny, he says his name is. Maps would show up, like, telling people how to get there. People looked and learned, trying to see if this could be true or anything. A weapons-grade plutonium spill did happen, good old Jersey, and was covered up for a long time by the U.S. government. So immediately the conspiracy types are like, that's tasty. Like there's got to be truth to this.
Yeah.
And then there is this thing called the Incunabula. I never know how to say this.
Matata.
Incunabula. Incunabula Press. Incunabula. Incunabula.
I would like you to keep trying for the next 10 minutes.
Please. Here we go. How would you say Incunabula?
That sounds right to me. Yeah.
From 1990, it said the Incunabula Press, 1990/1991, this book comes out and there's tons of all the known Ong's Hat lore all in one place. And not only that, it talked about lots of secret parallel universes, explorers that had done stuff and whatnot. And it was like somehow had inside information and people, got hooked on the notion that this was real. The government ruined it, and there's a hidden tunnel and maybe even an egg waiting to be discovered out there in the Jersey Pine Barrens. And then
they just have it there for the first person who come. It's like in
it's like a prize, right?
It's I don't know.
Well, weirder shit started to trickle around though. People said that just reading about Ong's Hat in the Incunabula and studying chaos science affected their life. So they had visions, strange dreams, hallucinations, you name it. Maybe that's true because maybe you're spending so much time on something that it's affecting your reality. How awesome that is, though, if true affecting people and there's something out there waiting to be found to prove it all in the form of a hidden lab. You know, how often do you get that kind of action in your life? Not that very often. Well, maybe you guys don't. I do, but we all know that. There's another wrench. There's another problem, Mr. Flora.
There's a shed with a hidden lab for everyone, if you know where to find it.
Yeah. I mean, sheds with hidden... I mean, we got a shed, we got a nuclear spill. I feel like we're talking about the radioactive Boy Scout again or something like that. Mom, she sheds glowing. Only problem that I was getting at is it's all BS. Not that people went looking or that called into Coast to Coast or said they were being affected by research. The BS is that this whole thing was a giant hoax put on by one man or government shill, depending on the foil hat wearer who's telling you at the time. And it is that guy who was calling in and saying that he had been there, one Mr. Joseph Matheny. So we're going to break. And when we do come back, and we're going to talk all about JoJo. That's after this break on Hysteria 51. All right, so enter Mr. Joseph Matheny, and not the cannibalistic serial killer.
That sucks.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint so many people. Not that guy. Joseph is an amazing guy with a hell of a resume in real life, and it's really cool. He set out to make a hoax, which ended up being one of, if not the internet's first major hoax. It is referred to as the internet's first hoax. Because it's the first thing that caught on when the internet was just starting out and going public. And the problem was it possibly went a bit too far. Let's break it down some. Tell us about him a little bit.
Sure thing. Chicago native, Joseph Matheny. So, hey. You know, points there.
Yeah.
He's a writer and transmedia artist who has created works using alternate reality gaming, ARGs, and transmedia storytelling methods.
Yeah.
Like what?
Like pamphlets.
Hey.
Bulletin board, a BBS word. Site, and a pamphlet. Yeah, where's the button?
Plus, the guy holds patents for prediction, recommendation, and behavioral analysis algorithms and software design.
That's impressive.
So, this is straddling a lot of disciplines.
Yeah.
He knows how people think and how to read and manipulate them.
Right. Yeah.
And that was when the internet was infantile. So, yikes. He's a published author of screenplays, white papers, technology, sci-fi, marketing, and gaming books. Brent, what's a white paper?
I don't know. What is a white paper?
Time to use the old...
You're pulling it up to let me know.
A white paper is an in-depth report or guide about a specific topic and the problems that surround it.
No, so it's like educates people on a certain thing. It's like a Wikipedia page. Before there was Wikipedia pages, I guess.
So he's also the author of a book on Ong's hat and how it all came to be, the hoax that it was.
Yeah, now the book was more like keeping it real, but that's how it tells the whole story and you can see how it became a thing. Yeah. Or truth by some who say he is said government shill paid to hide what really happened. Because everything needs a fucking conspiracy theory for some reason. That's the world we're living in. They shoot down a balloon. No! It's the only time in my life when everyone, the regular people, like, there's UFOs, and the conspiracy people are like, nope, there sure aren't. You know, like, that's weird.
Well, I mean, what good would human bullets and missiles do against interstellar objects, but
bullets are only weakness.
Well, he was remember that this pamphlet, the Incunabula Press, all of it was done by this one man, Joseph Matheny. Mm-hmm. You know, he had some help. He had some friends who helped along the way, but This was all the brainchild of this guy's brain.
It's like a grassroots hoax that took off kind of thing.
Yeah. And so he was passing out these pamphlets. I think they said that he went around to magazine racks in stores and bookshops and gas stations and would put this on, you know, with the magazines for people to just pass by, see it, pick it up. He went on as multiple people, like not his own name on these BBS sites. He called into radio shows, whatever, you know, all this. It was like this huge marketing thing that he did himself in that area. And it was an attempt to see how far a hoax could go.
Yeah.
And the answer, what was the answer there, Brent?
Pretty damn far.
Damn.
Yeah.
Not only did people believe it, they said he was a plan by the powers that be to cover up that reality, that the Institute, the twins, all the rest of it was truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that they were going to, you know, Joseph's amazing Technicolor Other Earth. So page after page on web boards and forums were devoted by and with people doing sleuthing, trying to find out who these scientists were, who Wally Fard was, etc. You know,
it's interesting to me. I looked this up, and some of them are still around. There's links you can find. They're dead, but you can go to the archive, which is the Internet Archive, is amazing. I love that. Uh-huh. And pull these things up. And it's almost sad because these people were locked in, hook, line, and sinker, doing real research into these things. There was a spill. There are these things. There really was this town. What's out there? Tracing these things. And other people are like, you know, this is a joke, right? And it was a weird time. Well, I guess it's a weird time still, but just a weird thing to see. Why do you think, David, why do stories like this take hold? Or why do people want to believe it is truth?
Oh, it's different for each and every person. So this is a gray thing. It's not black and white. Different people want to believe different things for different reasons. Like insecurity is a big one, I think, because they are there's something lacking in their lives. I'm not trying to be a dick about it.
I don't take it that way at all.
Honestly, there's something lacking that they need to feel important. You know, some people could do this and be like, I'm going to crack this case because I need to feel important, like I'm doing something that's worthwhile and that fulfills, you know, what is missing in my life. And there's some people that are just straight up convinced that everybody is lying and they're going to be in on the truth and they're actually more intelligent than other people. Again, though, it goes back to there's something missing that they need to fulfill. There's,
right.
Brent, we could do a whole episode on why do people believe this stuff. Read the Michael Shermer book, Why Do People Believe Weird Things. You know, that's not the exact title, but there's a Michael Shermer book that I've read that talks about people who don't believe in the Holocaust. You know, mm-hmm. They don't believe the Holocaust happened. And why, and you know, several different things like that, but why do
truth
they
be damned? Yeah. Like why,
need but
yeah,
this, yeah, but they do. So yeah, there's a lot of answers to that question.
I think that's the truth. There's a lot of answers to, you know, they all get you to the same place, but you can take a lot of routes.
Oh yeah.
And again, the next question is, well, why would he do this? And people have asked, and he doesn't do a ton of interviews anymore, but he's done a lot, and he's still in the press. And Joseph said he started out as a form of multimedia storytelling, or a way to tell the story. He'd went to college. He got this degree. He had this background in this. He wanted to get into, like, the internet and gaming and stuff, and this was kind of like a proof of concept to see if a story could go through multiple channels and come out whole and people enjoy it, almost like a game. Like, you know, you mentioned that before, like an augmented reality game. It really did, because he went at it with all these different types of multimedia, these pamphlets and online and radio, and it really caught on. And I think a lot of it had to do with the time in America also.
Yeah.
People were primed for that. The problem
also, I point out the internet wasn't exactly the place now where people are cautious. And
well, right. They, people didn't know to be cautious, maybe, because it was like, yeah, you know,
if it's out there, like, people are still, I think, trusting that the information that's posted in one of these things, you know, is more believable than not.
I believe him, yo. I don't know why, but I do.
Can I ask you one thing? Did you see in the research whether or not he did this for, so he wanted to see how far it could go, do a proof of concept and stuff. Was this for him personally or a business decision or a
personally
thing?
It was personal, but he was doing it so that he would eventually be able to possibly like make money off this or do games or, you know, be able just to, you know, if this works, then how can I turn this into something where I can make money?
Capitalism.
Yeah, there you go. The problem was, as it grew, many people saw it for what it was, as a hoax or a game or funny, and others took it way too far and way too serious. The reason he came clean is because he was actually getting harassed and threatened by people about his involvement. And that's when these followers of this stuff didn't believe it was a hoax because they'd invested so much time or money or effort or just, you know, bandwidth, or just needed to feel like maybe there was an escape. There's another dimension out there and I'm going to be able to go. You know, they couldn't believe that they put so much of their life into a lie, you know, or a proof of concept, if you will. Like you said, they started camping out of his lawn, following him. One guy even broke into his house and he had to like hold him at gunpoint for the cops and on and on. They were calling his employer and saying he was dangerous. They were following him, you know, when he was driving, and his friends. Scary shit.
Yeah.
Because these people that are loners were banding together. His error was in trying to get it to spread. He tied it into other conspiracies to make it seem real. Stuff like Montauk. That's where we talk about the Stranger Things, which we've mentioned on here before. We've done episodes on that. But like this proto Stranger Things, he borrowed from it, and then so did Stranger Things, and I think borrowed from the Ong's head as well. Or events like the Philadelphia experiment where things and people disappear and you're going to maybe another dimension or traveling or things like that, which we've done an episode on that this year as well. In locking in these connections to these other people and these conspiracy theorists who at the time were it wasn't as readily available. These people that were researching this were really putting in a lot of their life. He was dealing with some people who were a bit out there. And not above making threats to protect what they believed to be true, facts and evidence be damned. And that's when you get into some scary shit. And he dangled breadcrumbs to people doing research to move the narrative forward until he didn't have control of it anymore. And that's when he tried to stop and they weren't having it. In 99, he published Ong's Hat, the Beginning, detailing all of the stuff he'd released about it. And he said in multiple interviews since then that the problem was by then over half the people posting on it weren't in on it and didn't know it wasn't real. You know, creepypasta almost can get your ass in trouble if it's good enough, I guess. And this was good. And it was all over the place. And at this time, or it was about then when the internet was still new and people were looking for an escape, this was a chance at one. He finally wrote in a 2001 piece, an open letter to the conspiracy community. What did he say?
He said, "Nick and I decided today to publicly announce in the near future that the Ong's Hat project has now concluded. We will be contacting Peter L. Wilson as well and see if he'd like to make a statement. I think it would still make a good book from a cultural anthropology perspective. Your call. My program has finished running and I am being recalled from duty. I think we were successful in laying the groundwork for the coming change. The gateways are now open." Or the gateways are open now.
Yeah.
I am glad to finally be myself again. 7:37 p.m. PST. P.S. This is not a joke. The real Joseph Matheny.
Well, that's as clear as fucking mud. You know,
jeez.
But it is his way of saying it was a joke. You know, unless, I mean, David.
You don't reference stuff in there that sounds like, oh, it was all real until I said it was a joke.
Right. I didn't like that. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't say that my program is finished. I'm being recalled from duty. Come on.
Well, that's why so many people said that he was paid to say it, that he was a government shill. This is literally what people say to this day. They swear it was real and they got to him.
I like if you're going to take the mask off, take it off. Don't just put it over your forehead so that your eyes and mouth are unobscured. And you're like,
right.
Hey, by the way, I'm not Michael Myers. And then you put the mask back on.
Now, since then, he's come out and said he's detailed how he did it. It was a huge joke. He's talked about it. He has his own website. You can go there. There'll be links to it in the show notes. He called it a living book experiment, one written through multiple forms of media as an exercise for himself to learn how to do like an augmented reality game. AGRs was something that was coming about, and he's kind of like the father of it, so to speak.
ARG.
AGR. Augmented game reality. So like I said, he hasn't done a ton of interviews in a while, but there's a new podcast, Ong's Hat Podcast. BBC is doing it. It's starting literally now. The first episode came out like a week ago, and it's only going to be like one a week for like five episodes or something like that. And it's a, I believe it is a, like a radio drama, where they're doing it and he is involved giving them information, stuff like that. And there you have it. It's all fake.
Incident at Ong's Hat.
The Incident at Ong's Hat Podcast. Yeah. It's through BBC Four or something like that. I don't know. There should be shown. I'll put a link in the show notes, but there you have it. It's all fake. Unless it isn't. what do you think, man? Where's your head?
Yeah, the tying into other conspiracies and stuff, that was a big no-no at the time. You can do that now, I bet. In the sense that the people that really believe this and refused to not believe it were the people who would find books on these subjects when there was only one or two books written about them. They said the same thing, and it was way wackadoo out of this world. And I think this reminds me of the guys with Hellier and how, you know, they've put together this kind of augmented reality documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... I hope he got the answers he was looking for with this.
I mean, he's worked on a lot of things, so.
It's not right to harass a person, obviously. I'm just wondering, like, did he get what he wanted?
Oh, he got what he wanted, and he got what he deserved. I don't know, man.
It's wild.
I bet if you had it to ask him, I bet he'd say it wasn't worth it in the long run. Or maybe, I don't know. You know, I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Would you, Brent, if you tried to make a hoax and see how much life it took on and how far it went, do you think you could be able to do it?
No, not at all. I mean, he put a lot of time, effort, money into this. I don't think that I have the patience or the know-how or the willingness to do it.
Well, I'm just the question's more about, you know, do you think this was a one-off thing? Do you think this could have been something that if someone tried to do it, it never would have happened? But because they weren't trying to make it be this big, it happened.
Right. I think that he allowed it to grow and they got out of hand. You know, he got bigger than what he wasn't trying to get this kind of, you know, he,
yeah.
I don't think he was like, I hope people are at my house and breaking in and shit like that, you know, and not taking his word for it. And I think he thought a lot of people would take it tongue in cheek.
I wonder what the tipping point was. You know?
Like, yeah. I don't know if it was when people started showing up or, you know, I know he said that when he would post and people like, you know, he was like so many of the people that were saying, so he was saying that he grew up in the ashram and he was a child there and they're talking on like coast to coast and they're like,
was a big thing.
Well, that was big and that was all there was. And they're like, was it off limits? She's like, I wouldn't say off limits. They didn't shoo us away, but they let us be around. And he goes, and then the other people that had nothing to do with it were calling in and saying it. And he goes, I don't know if they were doing it just to be grifters or doing it to be a hoax, you know, to get in on it. But, it's,
people do that.
Of course they do. Yeah.
It's messed up. But, you know, when he was on Coast to Coast, he also was not Joseph Matheny. He was playing a character, right?
Right. But he used his name. He used Joseph Matheny. So he didn't really separate. No, so he didn't really separate. Now, he might have done other people too, but he used his name and didn't really put up a wall between the two. So, you know.
Yeah, that probably was part of the problem. You know what? I heard that he had very slight ties, and I don't know if this is I didn't get the sense that he was directly involved, but maybe it was an inspiration. Ong's hat was an inspiration for John Titor.
So he was absolutely involved in John Titor, they said. And the gentleman who came up with John Titor, I can't think of his name, but I believe he was involved in that as well. I saw that in
Florida
a couple
lawyer
of the,
or whatever you were.
I didn't read that. I saw it in a couple of interviews and things. Yeah, videos. Yeah.
What do you remember how he was involved?
I think he helped flesh out the story is the way I took it. So, and he also was involved, I would assume, because Titor had all those pamphlets and pamphlets and, you know, schematics and things. And I bet he was involved in that. But I didn't go down that part because I was already in the weeds with this huge of a story, which we're just scratching the surface on with a lot of the information. So.
What's funny about this story is that it is very self-contained and it's A to B to C, but there's so many just kind of intriguing little details to magnify that it balloons very quickly.
Yep. And there you have it. You're right. And then, you know, your balloon gets too big. They got to shoot it down.
Right. And then three others pop up. Yeah. Anyways,
and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends.
And they tell two friends.
So yeah, let us know. Have you guys heard of this? You know, it's one that's a lot of people have asked for through the years, and just finally got around to it. It was kind of a hard. And Dave and I were talking about this before the show. It was hard to do the outline because there's so much that I kept getting in the weeds of, like, I could have done just talking about the Dobbs twins or the things that happened at the ashram or his stories of how they grew up there and stuff. And I wanted to give you a more overview. It was hard to put together for me for some reason. Yeah. This was a hard one. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Let us know. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you think he is a government shill and we're dum-dums for not believing it. And you can do that by... Well, there's a few different ways. Tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's a regular page. Or just Google on Facebook Hysteria Nation or search on there. I guess you don't need to Google, but that's our Facebook discussion page. Also, Patreon. You can find extra episodes, Up All Nights, Mad Blur Hysterias, Cafeteria 51s, all sorts of stuff on there. Voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277, or you can find all of this and leave a voicemail through our website, hysteria51.com. While you're sending things, weird@hysteria51.com. Send us an email with your weird stories. We'll do those for our blurry hysterias. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a loved one, tell a flora, tell an ong if you know one, and let us know. You got anything going on, sir?
I am almost, I'm about 3/4 through the script for the next part of The Devil.
I'm 3/4 of the way done with The Devil.
I've had it just up to here. Yeah. Not quite up to here, but up to here.
Not so much here, but right here.
So yeah, blurryphotos.org, blurryphotos on podcast.
Blurryphotos.edu. So yeah, there's that.
That's what it's turning into. I'm going to be releasing the second part of The History of the Devil by the end of the month. By the end of February is my goal.
Very cool.
To that.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it too. Let us know your thoughts. Like I said, with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet Sax.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.